Well, we have a special treat this morning. As you know, 1 week from this morning, we're going to start an adult Sunday school class, and it'll be at 9 o'clock in the activities building. But this morning, the adult Sunday school class is going to be right here, right now. And you're probably wondering, well, who's going to be the teacher? What's it going to be like? So you're going to get find out who's going to be the teacher and what it's going to be like this morning. Because Carl Marcy, the teacher of the class, is going to teach the first session during our time this morning here from the pulpit. So I'd like to tell you a little bit about Carl. The Lord has blessed this church with a number of folks who are godly and involved in ministry, and Carl is one of those folks. Carl claims that he had an international birth. He was born in the French hospital down in Chinatown in L.A., but he grew up in Highland Park, which is, you know, just south of Pasadena. His father died when he was 12 years old. He has one sister. He was involved in the Navy Seabees in Vietnam. So he served our country in the Navy. He met his wife, Linda. Linda was playing piano this morning. This is kind of the Marcy Sunday. They met while in college. Carl graduated from Cal State University, Long Beach, and majored in civil engineering. And then he worked as a civil engineer in Pasadena for the city of Pasadena for over 34 years. He's lived here in Pine Mountain for 7 years, although he pointed out he's been here for 8 winters. So he's a veteran PCC man. He's been involved in the church here during those 7 years. He's served on the board for over 4 years, so he's served as an elder. And even though he's not on the board at this moment, I still consider him an elder of this church. And he presently works or donates his time to help with the Ridge Route Museum in Fraser Park. So he's a curator there. So if you go to the museum, maybe he'll give you a tour. And he's knows a lot about history, especially history regarding this area. He's going to be teaching a 10-week series on spiritual gifts. And I think it'll be, you know, a wonderful time. What we hope that all of you do will come here at 9 o'clock in the morning and take this session on spiritual gifts, perhaps learn how you can enhance your own spiritual gift. And because we know that as our spiritual gifts are enhanced, we as a fellowship will be enhanced. So, Carl, we're excited that you're teaching this session. We think it's very timely, and we know it's going to meet a need in our lives. And so why don't you come and share with us what the Lord has given you to share with us this morning.
I got to get the things turned on. Okay, very good. Now we'll see if the clicker works. But I wanted to thank you for coming this morning, because many of you knew I was going to preach and you came anyway. So I appreciate that. We are going to have a Sunday school class on spiritual gifts. One of the reasons that I had volunteered to be a teacher was at several years ago, somebody pointed out that there's two different types of teachers. One is a person that's very knowledgeable about a particular subject, like Pastor Rick, and he gets up and he lectures you and hopes that you will remember some of the things that he's telling you. This is how most of us got through school. Our teacher tried to impart their wisdom to us, and I guess it stuck for most of us. But the second type of teacher, which I prefer, is one that actually leads a group in discussion about a particular subject. That's a teacher I like to be for two reasons. One, I usually learn as much about the subject we're talking about as the class does. We share each other, we share our knowledge, we share our opinions, and so forth. It's fantastic. I love it. Plus, I get to choose which topic we talk about when we do it. The main reason that I was scared or reluctant to come up here this morning is during the teaching of a class, half of the class is the input from the class. I only have to talk half the time. And when Pastor Rick asked me to come up here, I'm thinking, gee whiz, I can't ask you guys questions and have you talking for half the time. I got to do the whole time. So it was a little scary. But bear with me this morning. And what I hope to do is basically tell you what I feel spiritual gifts are, how we can better tune into them, how we can better use them, and what are the difference. I'll try this clicker and we'll see. It worked. All of us have talents. We've had talents. That's how we get through life. That's how we ended up where we are. Our talents help us find a career, help us buy a home, help us raise our family, help us retire, get our kids through school. These are all talents. And usually they develop as children. We have certain things that we're interested in. And as we get older, we try out, and if we have a talent in that area, then great, we'll make that our vocation. When I was young, I really liked architecture. And so when I graduated from high school, I started going to junior college, and I took some classes in architecture. Well, at that time, we didn't have computers, and I had to write out all the specifications. My lettering was horrible. I did not have a talent in architecture. So even though I liked it, I looked around some more, and I really liked engineering. So I decided to switch my major to engineering, and I became a civil engineer. And that's how that was my vocation as we went through. Linda and I moved to Pasadena after graduation, and for me, fortunately, they were just getting ready to build the 210 freeway through Pasadena. That tells you how long ago it was. I was one of three engineers that got to design all of the drainage on the 210 freeway. I want you to realize during the last 30 years, 210 freeway has never been flooded. So we must have done a good job. But I also enjoyed the work, that type of thing. That's what our talents. Let me see, I didn't give the definition. These are natural capabilities of a person. In other words, these are what you're good at, what you enjoy, that type of thing. These are not necessarily your spiritual gifts that God has for you. What are spiritual gifts? This is a definition that we'll be using in the class. God, the Holy Spirit, bestows his presence and power on ordinary followers of Jesus for loving service to others for the common good. And to put that in plain English, it's God working through you. Not necessarily your talents or so forth, but he's working through you for the common good of others and for helping. And in order to do this, we have certain things we have to do. God's given us all the equipment and everything, but we have to do certain things. So I thought this morning what I would do, in the Bible, Jesus uses parables to teach the people. Pastor Rick is going to do a series on parables in the near future. I'm looking forward to that. So this morning I thought I'd give you a parable. And this one is not found in the Bible, but I think it gets my point across. I call it the parable of the radio. Mankind is like a radio. Both come in many shapes and sizes. The radio, like man, has all the parts necessary to communicate with the unseen signals around it. However, it needs a source of power to accomplish what it was intended to do. Many people, like a nice-looking radio, just sit on the shelf. They don't do what their intended function was. There we go. Yeah. The radio has a built-in means of connecting to the power source. If you look up here, you can see the cord and the plug. However, it may not always be connected. It's still pretty when it sits on a shelf, but it's not doing what it was supposed to. Oop, pressing the wrong way. There we go. Okay. When the radio is connected to the power source, it has the potential to receive unseen signals surrounding it for the outside world to hear. However, power cannot flow unless radio is turned on. God is around us wherever we go. I mean, we can't get away from him. Those signals are all there. We just have to be able to tune them in and listen to them and do the right thing. One of the things we're going to try to do in the class is make sure that our radios are turned on and plugged in. Also, I'll mention this with the power source. In this picture, it's plugged into the plug. Many times, I consider the power source as being God. We become Christians when we get plugged in. But many Christians tend to plug in to batteries. They come on Sunday morning, get all charged up for the week, and then they try to use that power to make it through the rest of the week. By Friday and Saturday, boy, you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. You got to get back to church and get charged up again. But if we use the plug, we're going to have power all week long, as much as we need. When the radio is turned on, it picks up signals for the station that it's been set on. However, if we do not want to listen to this particular station, we can change to another. Many times we need to hear to the Holy Spirit. We need to talk to God for many different situations. Maybe we were trying to make a big decision, an important decision. Okay, we need to be on the right channel to ask God, what does he want us to do? Sometimes we have loved ones that pass away and we need comforting. That's a different station. But we need to know how to tune into that station, how to use God for this situation. Each radio has a variety of frequencies in order to tune into different stations. These stations are intended for different purposes. However, we may get frustrated while trying to tune into the right station. Many times it is frustrating. You're trying to make the decisions. God's saying one thing. You're saying, well, I'm not really sure if I want to do that. And a lot of times we're getting static because we're not really on the station. So we've got to listen close. We've got to tune it a little finer. If we tune into the right station, it will offer the information, sound, or guidance we're seeking. It will do it in such a way that others can hear it. However, if we're unable to tune into the right station, we tend to turn the radio off. Now, what this meant is, what I'm trying to do is let you know, God has given us the power. He's given us everything we need to tune in to his spiritual gifts to get us through. But he has also not left the radio on or made it where there's no on and off thing. We can turn the radio off. We can change a channel. He's given us this power. So one of the things that we have to practice is, one, making sure that our radio is turned on, and two, making sure that we tune to the right channel. And you know what? The more practice we have, the better we're at it. We're doing on there. In my class, we're going to have several different topics. The first one will be, what are spiritual gifts? We'll be reading 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's what this will be based on. We'll also be asking certain questions in the class. I've just taken a few questions from each of the classes. What fears and concerns does the term spiritual gifts bring to your mind? Many people are afraid to turn their radio on because gee, God might want me to be a missionary and go to Africa, and I really don't want to do that. You know, I want to stay here. So they may not even turn the radio on, just out of their own fear and not knowing what to do. Also, we'll ask people, what is your personal response to the statement in the Bible that each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit? Okay, you have a spiritual gift that God wants you to use. It's built in there. All we have to do is turn the radio on and get to the right channel. Let me see. Okay. Equipping the saints for ministry. This one will be studying Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. What do you think is the reason people in church are often content with the status quo, with being consumers of good sermons and spine-tingling worship, rather than entering into full inheritance of the people of God? I think these are the people that use the power, their power as a battery on there. They get charged up on Sunday, try to make it through the rest of the week as best they can, and then come back and get charged. We need to learn how to really use our power more and switch from batteries to AC/DC. The next class will be on discovering spiritual gifts. This will be in Romans chapter 12, 1 through 3, and Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 through 22. People who are not Christians also serve, teach, encourage, lead, and show mercy. What extra benefits do we receive regarding the work of the Spirit as we use these gifts? If you really want to know, talk to the Fran Camps. They use their talents as well as their spiritual gifts to achieve it. And I heard Leon talking yesterday in the men's breakfast. And you know, he does everything voluntarily, but I don't think you could pay him $1 million and have more rewards than they've had over the years and what they've seen they've done. It's really great. Discovering spiritual gifts. We will be looking at Romans chapter 12, 1 through 3. Oop, this is the one that I just did. Okay. Controversial gifts. In the Bible, they talk about spiritual gifts. Some of them we tend to ignore today. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 33. Many of us, we're an interdenominational church here. You come from all different backgrounds. Many different churches have different ways of doing things. And we try to blend those together here. We try to talk. That's one thing that I like in the classes. I get input from Pentecostals, from Baptists, from Methodists, all over. You get to share your information and what you did. I've heard a lot more about the Holy Spirit since I've come up here than I did in my old church. They just didn't talk about it that much. But we will be talking about the controversial gifts. It says, recall a situation when something happened outside your comfort zone. What were you feeling? How did you react? And what were you thinking? When I read this question, it brought up an incident in my mind of about, it's been at least 30 years ago now. We were in a church in Covina, and we had just finished a class in evangelism. This was the last class, and after class, we were told, okay, we're going to pair you up, and we're going to send you out into the community, and you'll be knocking on doors, handing out tracts, and inviting people to the church. Well, fortunately, I was paired up with the pastor. So, you know, hey, I can go along, let him do all the talking. So we went around, and we several people weren't home. We left tracts at the house, and those that were home, we invited to the church. And I remember it was about 6 o'clock, and we visited this one house. We knocked on the door, and this lady with an apron came to the front door, and pastor gave her the regular spiel. We'd love to have you at our church. Here's a tract type of thing. And when she opened the door, I could smell dinner in the oven. I mean, I think they were having roast beef that night because it really smelled good. And she had her apron on and so forth. Well, you know, I'm waiting for the pastor to say thank you and for us to leave. And he says, can we come in and talk a while? And I'm thinking, no. You know, can't you smell it? They're getting ready for dinner. She's got her apron on. I'm sure, you know, they're getting ready to sit down at the table. Well, I followed him in, and we went in and sat down at the couch, and the husband came in, and they started talking on there, which was really good. The pastor was telling them, well, about 10 minutes after we got there, the daughter She was a teenager. She gave her heart to the Lord. The pastor wasn't smelling dinner. He didn't look at the apron. He didn't do any of the things that I was thinking of. He knew what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was talking to him. And he followed through, and she gave her heart to the Lord that night. Spiritual gifts and liberation. Isaiah 61, 1 through 9, and Luke 4, 14 through 21. What issues here in Pine Mountain Club seem most unjust to you and make you want to make something right? If only you could. You may be able to if you tune into the right channel. We'll find out in that class. Spiritual gifts for liberation. Why do you think bringing good news to the poor is so central to authentic biblical Christianity? Talk to the fan camps. They'll tell you. They do. A lot of times our good news, our encouragements, our actions, we do not realize. When you turn a radio on, as long as you don't have earphones on, not only you can hear it, but the other people around you can hear it. And it's the same way with the Holy Spirit when he's talking to you. It's amazing what the people around you get out of it. You may, when you're talking to someone, you know, if you happen to hear that their mother is sick and can't go down to Santa Clarita to get something or needs a ride to the doctor, okay, if you're tuned in right, you may say, hey, I'm going down to Santa Clarita tomorrow. Can I take her down? But you have to be tuned in. You have to hear what they're saying and not just let it be easy talk or whatever you want to say, back and forth. We will learn on there how up here in our church family, there's a lot of needs. There's an awful lot of needs. And I'm not talking about everybody becoming a missionary or a teacher or a speaker. A lot of you work behind the scenes. Don and Maggie work a lot behind the scenes on there, and they enjoy it. They get rewarded for it in what they see and do. Spiritual gifts and relationships. We'll be looking at Galatians 5, 16 through 26. Why is it important for you to identify the exact nature of the tension and conflict that you daily experience and not just cover it up? Okay, a lot of us are really struggling with some things. And I know from personal experience, many times I don't share it. I'll just hide it. But God knows what it is. He may want you to share it with a particular person. I've been amazed over the years at what I thought was a very unique problem for me in talking with other people, and many of times it was in the Sunday school class. Gee, they have the same problem. You know, I'm not unique. I'm not the only one that's struggling with this, and end up talking with them and working through it. Okay, spiritual gifts in the workplace. Exodus 31, 1 through 11, 35, 4, 19, and 35, 30 through 36. Describe your most dissatisfying work experience and what made it so frustrating. I mean, for those of you that are working, it can be pretty frustrating at work. I mean, you wake up in the morning, you say, oh no, it's Monday again. I got to go to work. Then describe your most meaningful work experience and what made it purposeful. I mentioned this in the first service, and I think it was great. I went to college for 4 years to get my degree in civil engineering, but I only was able to design and do what I really liked for about the first 5 years. And then you get into administration, and you get to give assignments to other people, and they get to do the fun stuff. But you get paid more, so that's what goes on. So many times we end up at administration and that type of thing. But one of the guys that worked for me, I had about 12 people working under me. One was an inspector in the field. I was in the Public Works Department. And he was a very good inspector, a big black man, really good. And he would check in the morning, I'd give him his assignments, and then I wouldn't see him the rest of the day. Well, because of that, we didn't really realize his problem. He was actually on drugs and was an alcoholic. And this didn't come to mind until he got his third DUI. And third DUI is mandatory jail time. Well, this affected his job. I mean, he couldn't hide that from us. So he came in and told us, you know, that he got his third DUI and he was going to have to go to jail. Well, I'm working for City of Pasadena. Fortunately, my boss at that time was a Christian. And I went to him. We talked things over. We said, okay, let's go over and talk to the police chief and see if we can get Don spending his jail time at night and then working during the day, because we would really have been hurting without Don. So we went over. Police chief said, well, we've never done that before, but he agreed to try it. So Don spent the nights in jail. We'd get up in the morning, come to work, and then go back to the jail in the evening, and it worked out pretty well. But at the time, it was getting towards Christmas. And Linda and I went and visited the family, and the wife is on drugs too, two small kids. The house was really a mess, really bad. So we took them up a Christmas tree and so forth and got some presents and things. But meanwhile, Don's in jail. He didn't get to go home at all. He went straight from work to jail. Well, we went over and I talked with one of the officers. And he said, well, Don's been a good person. We'll let him off Christmas Eve. So Don got to spend Christmas at home with them. Well, both of them were still on drugs and that type of thing. So we talked to personnel, and we got Don involved in a 12-step program there in Pasadena. And his wife... actually, the company she worked for, they got her on a 12-step program. Well, she did real good. About halfway through the program, Don, you're at a community-type house no guards or anything type of thing. Well, he left one night. He wanted to get some drugs. So he left the 12-step program, went to this lady that had been supplying him with the drugs. And the lady had become a Christian. She sat Don down and lectured him all night long. And he went back to the program, finished it, was a changed person. He is an outstanding Christian now. The whole family is. He sends me an email once a week. I talk with him. I've had him, I think, once up here, actually come to the men's breakfast and testify. But the family's doing fantastic. Don is a born-again Christian, he witnessing all the time type of thing. And this was all the result of the people that were involved that were helping him and did through. He's still working for Pasadena, which was fantastic. That was my most meaningful work experience. Spiritual gifts in the workplace. Review your work life. What did you enjoy doing and what did you feel you did successfully? Where do you think God might have been in all of this? Okay, these are some questions sometimes we don't really ask ourselves. You know, is God working through me? We don't preach at work, but we're a witness. They can tell if you're tuned to the right station. Believe me, they do. And they will show it. Spiritual gifts and witnessing. How could the Sunday gathering at the church serve to empower people for their Monday missions? That's what the pastor's been preaching. In other words, when we live here, it's great. We're comfortable in here. But we have to go back out into the real world. If you're in a bad situation at work, you have to go to work for the rest of the week before you can come back here. And one of the things that the pastor is trying to teach us and that we can learn by looking through the Bible and learn by enabling our spiritual gifts type of thing is to make life a lot easier and a lot more enjoyable. We still work hard, but there's a lot of different kinds of rewards. Okay, what are some of the main things you've learned from our studies about the purpose and place of spiritual gifts? That'll be our last lesson. It's in Acts 2, 1 through 21, 37 through 47. Okay, what I've tried to do this morning is just give you a little insight into what we'll be talking about. We're all plugged in, I'm pretty sure, here, but we need to check and make sure our radio's turned on. And then once it's turned on, what are we listening to? You know, are we a bunch of static? One of the songs we sung early in here was The Devil on there. And he'll create a lot of static. Enough to get you discouraged where you think, I'm just going to turn this thing off. I'm not going to look for the right channel. But we'll talk about different spiritual gifts. How they can help you, how you can use them. And again, they're not necessarily your talents. Some of you have seen me in the bell choir. I can't read music. We have some others from the bell choir here. We really have a good time. I have a lot of fun. I told the leader, I said, hey, I've got two bells. You show me which two notes I'm supposed to play. Don't change my notes. And I can hit those notes each time. I can't read music. I've never really been talented in music. But I had a lot of fun. We're going to be trying to get the bell choir going again in the near future. Come on in and try it. One of the things I want to try to do in the class is have sort of an experimental situation on here. Okay, if you think maybe this might be one of your spiritual gifts, try it. All you can do is ring the wrong bell or something. or do it. I really appreciate the people that sing in the choir. They're not all in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, or they couldn't qualify or that, but they love to sing. They come and sing. There's an awful lot of areas here at the church that you can get involved in. You don't have to be talented in that particular area. You just need to tune in and let God work through you. You may be amazed at what comes out if you just turn the channel on and tune to the right station. So thank you for this morning, and I appreciate your patience.